Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Sarah.
I'm Liz.
And this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast. Hey, hey, hey.
Hi, everybody. Before we get into the episode, we want to remind you that this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness, Sarah?
No, I mean, I was going to answer.
Okay. Well, if there is,
the answer is yes.
Yes. Well, BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional therapy done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available. So if you are someone who struggles with your, you know, typical day-to-day anxiety, or maybe you're doing just fine and you want to talk to somebody about the tools you can use when a crisis might come up, or if you are struggling with a whole host of things, BetterHelp has experts for you. So BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. You can visit their website and get 10% off your first month of service by going to betterhelp.com/itsfine. That's betterhelp.com/itsfine. And join the over 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional.
Thank you.
Sure. So do you want to just get into Peek and Pit?
Yeah, sure.
I thought about it on the way here because I've had quite an eventful day, but really I've had so many peaks.
Yeah, we haven't recorded in a while, and since we have, a lot has happened.
Totally. It's been a very peaky 2 weeks, but there's a recency bias, so I'll share what happened today.
Do you have a pit? Is that what's today?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me do my pit first. My pit is, it feels a little bit like juvenile to call this a pit because it's like so much more than that. But I, like, obviously the anniversary of 9/11 just happened. It was the 20th anniversary. And I am the kind of person who really finds, I don't want to say comfort, but like I'm really interested and invested in like learning everything about things like 9/11. Like, I know people on TikTok say that they feel the same way, or people even feel that way with like the Titanic, which obviously happened so long ago. But there's people who just gravitate toward learning about like disasters, because I think it just helps people try and like make sense of something that's really difficult to make sense of. But I've just been like watching documentaries and learning a lot more about it. And I think it's hard to say that it's like a pit because it's so big and vast and huge. But yeah, it's been really heavy. So I obviously, like, we think about the families of people who are lost all the time, whether you were someone who died here, whether you were someone who died in the war following. So that's my pit. I'm sorry to bring the room down, but it's part of our conversation. Mm-hmm. So my peak happened today, which was it's Fashion Week, it's the Met Gala, it's the VMAs. So like everybody's here, all the celebrities are in New York. And I went to the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, which is, I figured out that the Kardashians were staying there, and I just like camped there all morning. And I didn't see Kim or Kylie or Kourtney, like I didn't, but I did see Kris Jenner, which was just fabulous, like truly just everything. And it was like really fun. Like, I really enjoy doing those things because I'm just with a bunch of people who also love it. And
yeah,
it's just like, it's literally addicting. Like, yeah, there's so much adrenaline. And Kris came with me, and this is a funny tidbit, I haven't told you that a lot of people were walking by and being like, who are you guys waiting for? And we would be like, the Kardashians. And a lot of people were like, oh my God, the Kardashians. And then a lot of people were like, literally, who cares?
Oh yeah.
And one guy said to me, who cares? Like, he was actually angry about it.
So,
and
he cares.
Yeah, right. And then he started walking away, and Kris, who was like 10 paces behind me, was like, why don't you mind your business?
Oh my God.
It was so funny because like, it was just like a bunch of girls like freaking out, like fangirling over the Kardashians who hadn't even shown up yet. And Kris was just like coming out, like standing up for his woman.
Amazing. Go off, Kris.
And I also saw like Tracy Romulus, who people who are in the know that that's like the PR, like she's just the PR queen of the Kardashian family. And she knew who I was, which was just like, I don't even have the words for it, but it was just, it was nice. It's nice to have the security of being like, yes, I didn't meet Kim today, but like they know who I am, so it's fine.
And not only did she know who you were, but like she actively called out to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wasn't like, I'm Liz. Like she like stopped what she was doing and was like, Liz, like you're Liz. And I was like,
That is so wild.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So wild, so cool. It's so crazy. Like looking back on a couple years ago when we saw Kim and Kanye, like I don't know. It's just really cool. Like, you're out there, you're going for it, and it's really exciting stuff.
Very exciting. How about you, Sarah?
It really has been an eventful couple of weeks. I feel badly that my pit isn't as like meaningful, I guess, as yours.
Yeah, but that's okay. We wouldn't want too super heavy.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Well, the good news is lots of peaks, lots and lots and lots of peaks. The pit is that, this past Friday night, I drank because like that's what I do. And Saturday morning, I experienced my first hangover anxiety in months. Oh my, I haven't had, you know, we had that episode about hangover anxiety. Haven't felt that since maybe March. Yeah. Haven't felt that since March. I still like drink and go out, but I usually am in like, I've been actively putting myself in like uplifting positive environments. And I think this Friday, like, no, I still had a really fun night. Like I really had a really fun night, but you know, certain things happened that caused this hangover anxiety. And I, not only that, but I was extremely hungover, like,
yeah,
so unwell.
Yeah.
And I just like sat in my bed for two, and also it was Shabbat, so that I couldn't even like aimlessly scroll on my phone to get over it. I just had to sit in my bed, breathe. I read the parsha. Like I didn't know what to do. My head was spinning. And then once I went to services, as soon as I walked in, it miraculously all went away.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to experience that for the rest of the day. Like I felt like morally better, physically better. I drank water. I forced avocado and lox down my throat. And I was like, Sarah, eat some protein and fat. You're going to feel better. So that was my pit. But, you know, all in all, like it's a pit, but I had a great night.
Mm-hmm.
Like we had fun. And hangovers are signs of a good time.
Totally.
So it's really not the end of the world. And my peak, I have a couple. Saw the Jonas Brothers on tour.
Big peak.
In Denver with a great group of girls. It was a literal blast. Like, so many good things to say about it. It was so fun. And then I also spent the Rosh Hashanah holiday with my parents, which was really nice. And then I know this is like three peaks, but my third peak is that this past Shabbat, yesterday, Saturday, because we're recording on Sunday, I had like just a really, really nice day with a group of girls. Like my friend Chaya made so much food and like really good food. And we played games. We played Bananagrams. We played Rummy Cub, whatever that one's called. We just played a bunch of games. We talked. There were deep convos, light convos, and we ended the day with learning. And it was just like super, super special. And by the time I got home, I wasn't even running to turn my phone on. I actually took a very long walk back from the east side and was like anxious, if anything, to turn my phone back on. I was like, that was a really nice day. So that was another peak. Lots of peaks.
Lots of peaks. That's good.
Yeah.
Thank God. I was going to say that when you were talking about
the pit,
I saw yesterday and we were at the Cheesecake Factory. So I was like, do you know that like I told a story on my podcast about when you ate salad with your hands at Cheesecake Factory? I was like, I obviously didn't say your name. And when I was saying it, I knew that like when we had that on the podcast, I like felt kind of bad because I was like, even though we didn't say his name, like I feel bad. And he was the one who said like, I remember you guys like told the story about that on your podcast. And I was like, yeah, I was like, I'm really sorry. He was like, no, like I loved it.
Oh,
like
he
I love
heard
the
it.
Story.
He listened to
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. That was the best part, that he had listened to it. So,
like he's just like a listener.
Yeah, yeah. Him and
honestly, we should just keep it in. And when you say his name, I just beep like a little.
Yeah. That's a good idea. No, it
that's
was
awesome.
It was really funny. He knew that we talked about it.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
Gosh.
But okay. So really today, speaking of famous people, as we always do, we wanted to talk about the D'Amelio show. Oh, wow. Okay. So Sarah just pulled up a whole list of notes.
I really paid attention and took notes. I felt like Fran on her podcast.
Yeah, totally.
Because, you know, like, I feel like those, like, real podcasters and their job is to watch TV shows and then they take notes. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you have notes because that's a good guidepost. But first and foremost, for those of you who I'm sure that there's 99% overlap, but for those of you who don't know, like the D'Amelio show follows Dixie and Charlie D'Amelio, who are the biggest TikTokers in the world. Like Charlie is still, I think, the most followed person, just like a young dancing gal. And they moved to LA and it's like about their family and the dynamic of having, of becoming famous, like in a, it shooting to superstardom in a year. And it was not what I, the show was not what I expected, because I expected it to be kind of more like Kardashians-y, but it was really serious. And that's like kind of why we wanted to talk about it on the show, because it was so about mental health.
Yeah. It's a big mental health show. There's a big focus on the irony behind Gen Z and their like love for mental health and their advocacy for mental health, but like how they actually don't act on that at all. And they're like, there's so much bullying that happens online, and how Charlie and Dixie are impacted by that bullying.
Yeah. What's interesting is I've seen clips on TikTok, on my side of TikTok. So like the videos that reach me are clips of the show where Dixie or Charlie are having like mental breakdowns, and these kids are commenting like, wow, if I had known that this was how they felt,
no
like I
way.
Never would. I mean, I'm glad they're saying that and not like,
I was nervous about what you were about to just say.
Yeah. And not like those like fakers or something. I mean, I'm sure there are people saying that, but it does seem like the tune has changed since the documentary, which I'm glad about. But I'm also like, you guys are like, I'm sorry. I know that a lot of them are literal children, but it is really infuriating to see that. I'm like, you're so susceptible to like looking at what other comments say. And like, so one person insults Dixie and then you all call her musty. Like it's just so disgusting and toxic. And I can't say this enough times, but like, just because someone does something you don't like doesn't give you the right to like call them out in such vicious ways. Like people really think that they're entitled to do that because they see someone doing something wrong or egregious or even offensive. Like I will go as far as to say like there are people who do offensive things, and it's one thing to call someone out and be like, hey, you can't do that. That's not cool. And it's another to be like, you're ugly. Like what? Those two things have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I had a point. Well, I had 2 points and I don't remember one of them, but the other one was that, I forgot this one too. I was going to say it's one thing, and we've spoken a lot about like cancel culture being held accountable. Like we've spoken a lot about that on this podcast, I think.
Yeah.
And it's one thing to talk about cancel culture and doing something offensive, as you just said.
Right.
Remove that from the conversation. These girls are literally just like two young girls that like are on TikTok and people hate them for literally no reason. Like imagine, and again, like remove taking accountability for saying or doing something that may have offended a different culture or race.
Right.
Remove that from the conversation because it doesn't apply for these two girls.
Yeah,
at least I don't think.
I agree with you.
For the most part, these two girls are just like literally a 16 and an 18-year-old girl, or now I guess they're 19 and 17. And they just like are on TikTok making videos just like everyone else. And the amount of hate they get makes no sense, because all of the hate is based on their looks, their talents, and they're just like kids.
Yeah.
And they didn't choose to become famous. Like it's one thing when you're an adult and you're like, okay, I want to join the music industry. Like I know I'm going to open myself up to criticism, which also like there's a lot of hatred in that, but that's for a later topic. This is just two girls who rose to fame because of people on TikTok.
Right.
And then as quickly as they loved her, they started hating her, both of them. And it's just really sad. Like I wrote a bunch of thoughts about the show, but in general, if you decide to watch it, you'll see a lot of how these two young girls are impacted every single day by endless comments about their looks, their weight, how good they are at singing or dancing. And it's like all they did was decide to post videos of themselves dancing and singing. They got famous because of it, and now they're being hated for it.
Totally.
You made them famous.
I know. Yeah, that was a big part of the show, was like, we didn't try this. We didn't ask for this. Like they're not saying like we don't wish we had it, or like we're not grateful for where we are. But Charlie's point was like, I couldn't tell you why I became famous like if I tried. Mm-hmm. And I think if she was out here being like, I'm the most talented dancer, which she isn't, maybe then people could criticize her and be like, you actually, like, there's other really talented people. And I think one of the valid, it's not even a valid criticism of them, but a valid criticism of like society that people have is like, there are so many creators of color that aren't as famous as them. But I really do think, I'm not of color, but like, I do think that Charlie and Dixie kind of do go out of their way to make sure that like they also give platforms to other people. And like, as far as I know, Charlie always gives like dancing credit to people. Yeah. Like, yeah. I just think there's a way to like give. I think Charlie actually does a good job about being like, I have this platform and I'm going to share it. But like, why are we beating someone down for like, I just never think that that's the answer.
Like having, yeah.
For having a platform.
Having a platform. And also like, if they were the reasons that they got famous and they like mooched off of someone else's right. work and then didn't give credit and then they got famous for it, it'd be like one thing.
Yeah.
But we as a society made them famous and now we're blaming them for being famous. Yeah,
exactly.
That's a societal problem.
Right.
That's not a them problem.
Agreed.
We gave it to them.
Agreed. Another really funny part about the show, you know, who actually pointed this out to me yesterday was Sophie's boyfriend, Marcus. He was there and he was talking about the show and we were laughing because he was like, first of all, I feel so conflicted about like their parents. Like, I think they're doing everything they can to protect them. I really do. I don't think they're trying to exploit them. But Marcus was like, it's funny that the dad is always like, as soon as this gets bad, we can go home.
Right.
But how many, he was like, Dixie just got death threats, but as soon as this gets bad, we'll go home. Right. Like Charlie's getting bullied and like can't go outside, but as soon as it gets bad, we'll pick up and go home. It's like, it's really difficult. And I'm genuinely not making a judgment of them because I don't know what I would do. Like if my kid was having all of these amazing opportunities and like making money, I wouldn't want to stop my kid from having those opportunities. Like how do you stop your kid from that much like those opportunities? But at the same time, like they're so very clearly like not happy people. So I mean that's kind of what I took away. They seemed very lost.
It's tough because on one hand I think that people dream, and maybe this is the wrong thing to dream about, but in America, people dream of like making it big or being successful, right. even if you're not famous.
Yeah.
People dream of wealth. People dream of being comfortable, being able to give your children everything.
And, yeah.
And that's like a huge thing that people want. And I think that their parents probably saw not only that their kids had this opportunity to become, I mean, it was happening whether they wanted it or not.
Yeah.
Like Charlie blew up with whether she wanted it or not. It kind of just happened to her. And so I think their parents were like, okay, well, we can either bounce on this opportunity right now. And then in the future, they will be set for life with this.
Yeah.
And like if they didn't bounce on the opportunity, like in the future, they might be resentful that their parents didn't allow them to take on. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's so layered because at the same time, it's like they themselves were begging their parents.
Yeah.
Like Charlie begged her parents to move to LA. So it's like, again, if her parents said no, she might have been like, look what we could have had.
Right.
And then the other layer of it is like, yeah, obviously parents many times know better than their children, and children who end up doing this in their youth have like a lot of mental health struggles for the rest of their lives. But them as kids asking their parents to do it, they don't know that that's going to be an issue. So it's like, as a parent, what do you do?
Yeah. And I think I like that they kind of admitted, they were like, we do not know how to handle like this, like Dixie having a breakdown. That's like why we have got her a therapist. Like, I think they really are doing everything they can to try and manage. But there is that weirdness of being like a child star and like your work funds your whole family. It's just, I don't think there's a way to get around it. I think there's always going to be famous kids, like kids, like TikTok is for kids. Of course, there's going to be famous kids that make money, but
and
that
people love youth.
Right. Of course. But it doesn't end well a lot of the time when the kids are not only like the primary breadwinners, but when they are making like
millions. Tons
and tons of money. It's good that they're a really close family. Like they do value that.
Yeah.
But just like I've seen this film before and I did not like the ending.
Yeah.
You know?
Actually, one of the notes I wrote down was, I wrote a lot of notes down. I said, okay, so the first scene of Dixie crying in episode one, she was so upset. It was really hard to watch. And I said, first of all, her parents must have to they must have to see their kids crying a lot and, you know, feeling so helpless and in those types of situations must be really tough for the parents. But also like we're living in such a different time because most talented, young, famous children didn't have to deal with hate to this extent.
Yeah, no.
Until right now.
No.
And I wrote, like, of course, big celebrities like Britney and Lindsay Lohan, like, they got hate and they struggled big time, but they didn't have to see millions of comments every single day. So it's almost like it's a whole other level. But at the same time, I don't think Britney and Lindsay were subject to the help and professional help that, like, now parents are much quicker to be like, let's get them a therapist. Like, there's a problem. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
So
also Britney and Lindsay and, like, Miley, the ways that they became famous weren't the direct link to their haters. So what I mean by that is, like, if Dixie and Charlie want to, like, do what they did to get famous and continue to make money, they go on TikTok, and the only, like, that's where all of the haters are. Like, Lindsay Lohan didn't have a forum. Like, I'm sure there were, like, Reddit or whatever forums were around when Lindsay Lohan was coming up. Like, they existed. But there was no reason that she had to go there. She like, the way that she was making money was going to do movies. Like, you know, so it's really hard to not look at the comments when you have to post a TikTok because it's your job.
Right, right. 100%. And they're also just kids.
Yeah.
So, like, as kids, they want to be on social media. They want to be reading the comments. We read the comments and they're not even about us.
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah.
But yeah, I also wrote, like, I cannot imagine being 16 to 19 years old and you are the breadwinner of your family. Like,
no.
I was stressed in high school and middle school from having homework and, like, one social activity after school. Period. And they have schoolwork, they have social media, they have drama between their friends, and then they have everyone else having comments about their drama. I just cannot. That's so much pressure.
I just think, especially kids, but really anybody, like, I don't know. There's only so many times I can say that the internet is so disgusting and people really think they're doing something when they, like, call people out. I there's a particular person on the internet who I'm not going to say who it is. She's such a lightning rod for people's disgusting. And, like, my thing is, she might even be, like, doing some things, like, wrong and effed up, but then people have literal hate accounts dedicated to, like, calling her out for the things that she's done that are bad. And like, I don't know. Like, when we were 5 years old, didn't our parents teach us that two wrongs don't make a right?
Right.
I don't really get – people just think that they're able to and it's okay. It's totally just justified bullying and people really think it's okay. And I think that's the thing that bothers me the most about the internet is that, like, people act like because they're quote unquote calling someone out that anything they say afterwards is okay.
Right.
And it just isn't. And it's – and oh, the other thing I was going to say was – that video of Dixie, like, hysterically crying is, like, everybody cares about mental health until, like, it has to do with – that. She said that.
Yeah.
She was like, everybody cares about people's mental health until, like, I'm the one who's saying I'm struggling and people, like, say I'm fishing for compliments or I'm, like, trying to get people to feel bad for me.
We're, like, picky about who we allow to have – like, allow space for mental health.
Yeah. I don't remember what it was, but I posted an Instagram story recently where it was, like – oh, it was about Khloe. Khloe Kardashian was, like, tweeting because everyone was obviously commenting on her being back with Tristan or something. And she was like, everybody cares about mental health until, like, or no, sorry. Everybody cares about mental health, like, when, God forbid, somebody commits suicide. But, like, nobody cares when the person is, like, alive, struggling. And, like, they're saying
like
nasty things. Yeah. Nasty things. Like, I remember the thing with Pete Davidson. Like, he'd broken up with Ariana Grande and he was obviously really struggling with his mental health. And like I remember the day, like, I think people had to call the police because, like, he wasn't answering his phone and his friend had to, like, go to his apartment. And it was just like, everybody cared so much, but, like, people bullied him for weeks, like, weeks.
Yeah.
So I just really urge people, like, stop, like, imagine, God forbid, I know it's hard, but, like, imagine that the person that you hate on the internet was, like, really contemplating hurting themselves and then, like, really reevaluate whether what you're saying and doing, like, you think that's still necessary because it's not.
100%. And also, I want to get back to that, but I have so many thoughts right now. Another thought is, like, I want to get back to that, but one thing I wanted to add about what we were talking about earlier before I forget is that, you remember I said I had, like, 2 points. I just remembered it. And I just want to say it. It's like, okay, let's say that you're listening to us talking about it or you're watching the show and you're like, okay, well, they could be uplifting. they could be using their platform to uplift, you know, people of color or minority groups. Okay, fair, fine. But why do we as a society prioritize bullying them as opposed to just uplifting the people of color?
100%.
Why are we wasting our time commenting on their TikToks, blaming, when we could just as a society be making people of color famous?
Go to their TikToks.
Go to their TikToks and be positive and just uplift them.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous. We make these people famous and then we're like, how dare you be famous and not this person?
Right.
Then just go to that person's TikTok and make them famous.
Totally.
We hold the power.
I know.
Charlie and Dixie's entire career is based on
the comments that you give them.
Yes.
100%.
So that kills me. It's like, we're so focused on negativity that people with talent who could be famous are just making content and not getting comments.
Yeah.
Because all of the comments are on Charlie's post being like, I hate you.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then we can go back to your point, which was like, I just watched, actually I'm almost done with the season, but I just watched an episode and Charlie was like, trigger warning, but she said that someone was like, you should hang yourself. Like, what? Does someone actually want that for her? Like, if that happened, God forbid, what would people say?
I really think there should be like a show where people like go find these people who say those things and are like, and like show it to their mom.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Or like ask them if they're okay.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's very sad. Like, what compels people to say those things to other people? Because people who have healthy, normal lives do not go on the internet and say things like that. Like, maybe as I'm sitting here being like, what makes people say that? Thank God that I'm not doing that, because I have like a very, I'm like very, I mean, I'm not perfect, but I'm well adjusted. Like, I would never speak that way to other people. I genuinely feel sorry for people who do that. And I urge, not that, you know, I hope Charlie listens to this. I don't think that she will. But if she did, I would be like, please just remind yourself every chance that you get that the people who are saying this are very unwell. Like, and it sounds like the kind of thing that your mom would say to you when you're little and people are bullying you and you're like, shut up, mom. Like, you don't know. You're just trying to say that to make me feel better. But it's really true. Like, think about yourself. And if you're a happy person, like, do you go to people's Instagrams and like start saying those things to people? It's so twisted and very disgusting.
100%. And people think that they can take it, especially Dixie, because she puts on like an I don't care about anything attitude, like tough one. But just because of someone's exterior doesn't mean, I actually thought about you, because in one episode, Charlie was like, people think I'm standoffish because I get shy.
Yeah.
And I thought about you, because if someone ever thinks you're like mean or standoffish, it's because you're just shy or like quiet. And I was like, and I'm every time, not every time, I like don't know anyone that says that, but like, if people were to think that about you, I would just respond with like, then you don't really like know her at her most comfortable, because you're like so nice and outgoing.
No, I used to get that sometimes when people were like, I met her and she was not nice to me. And it's like, I'm a lot of things. Like, I can be like, I've made mistakes. I can be very moody, but like, I'm not mean, especially to people I don't know. And if you like came up to me and I was just like shy, or I didn't like want to say hello, whatever.
I related, because Charlie was like, I'm shy and people think I'm like standoffish, but I just like don't really know what to say to you as a stranger.
Yeah.
Which is okay.
Yes. I also really related to Dixie, because like when she was talking about how people think she's like so ungrateful and mean because she just doesn't, she's not super emotive, and she's like, I really saw the human in her, and I was like, it's, that's so, first of all, not to like make this a whole other topic, but no man ever gets that criticism. Like, you're like, you're not thankful enough. You're not smiling enough. Like that video where she like didn't like the snail or whatever. I remember was like, it was like, I also watched that and was like, that's kind of weird that they put that out. But I really just think that's just who she is. And it's not her being like ungrateful. It was very clearly like they were all kind of like messing with her.
Yeah.
And she just is, I'm this girl. Like, I really am the girl that's like, I'm not always smiling, and it doesn't mean I'm not happy. It just means like, that's how I am. That's like my natural state of being. And you never hear like the TikTok boys getting that criticism, even though they're animals, like animals. So I just think that that's like, cut that out, everybody. Like, calling girls out for being like moody, like, excuse me.
And I think around the same time, if not in the same episode, Charlie said she wanted to get to 100 million followers because it would be cool. And everyone was like, so we're just numbers to you. I'm sorry. Try and envision 100 million people. You can. You literally can't. It's
right.
So many people. Charlie's not going to sit there and think about each individual follower and be like, wow. Like, she's like, this is crazy. 100 million people follow me.
And it's their job. It's the same as like when you do a job and you're like trying to get some certain metric.
Yeah.
Like,
it's wild. It's so wild.
Yeah.
What is it going to say? Also, like, I think they are talented.
I do too.
Like, okay, Dixie isn't Ariana Grande, but she has a nice voice.
What was she singing? There was one song that she was singing, and I was like, holy hell, yes. She sounds really good.
Yes.
She's singing Driver's License.
Oh, Driver's License. Yeah. Yes.
And she was amazing.
She was really good.
Yeah. And, oh, another good point that Charlie made, which was so mature, was she was like, if you had access to a music studio because
and you love to sing,
you wouldn't do it. Yeah. Like, that really is so hypocritical. Everyone's like, oh, well, Dixie only was able to do it because of Charlie, which, like, first of all, that's mean. Like, just like Charlie got famous, but people also really liked Dixie. Like, Dixie also started to get a lot of followers too. And people are just like full of it. Like, you would do the same thing. Also, newsflash, everybody. Almost every single person that you like in Hollywood has rich parents. Like, I'm sorry to tell you, like, not everybody is Justin Bieber and got plucked off of YouTube. Like, for real.
Yeah.
Like, name a person, Kim Kardashian, Ariana Grande. Like, I mean, maybe not the Jonas Brothers, because you do know that their story was like about them struggling and stuff.
Thank you.
But you're welcome. But a lot of, like, genuinely, like, the way that people get famous, so many people get famous, is because you need money to get famous, because you need like a management team.
Yeah.
So, like, everyone who thinks that you need to just have raw innate talent and then like you get plucked out of obscurity, you are incorrect. And I just think Dixie is doing what everybody else did. Mm-hmm. She just had to do it very forward facing. Mm-hmm. And people like think that that's something different that's never happened before. And so they criticize her for it. And like, that's the tale as old as time.
But it's also like, okay, so.
Yeah, no, even if she was rich, 100%. So, okay. All right. Okay. So.
What is she supposed to do?
Yeah.
Become homeless so that you can feel better?
Or like, she has to go to, like, no matter what she would do, people would be angry with her for being able to do it. And it's like, if she didn't sing, she would just be quote unquote riding her sister's coattails and making TikToks like on TikTok. But she actually was like, no, I want to do something different
when
for my own career.
When you have a platform, you're not just going to sit there and twiddle your thumbs. You're like, what can I do with this? Like, that's enjoyable to me. Yeah. I feel like I have some type of talent. Listen, I love to sing. Could I be on American Idol and win? Probably not. I mean, maybe. I'm just kidding. I couldn't. But if someone gave me a recording studio and they were like, we're going to give you a record label because you have a lot of fans, there's literally a 0% chance I would say no.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I know. What do they think that she's supposed to say? No, I think actually maybe this would be better suited for other creators. Okay.
But there are a lot of singers out there. Why can't she also be a singer?
I mean,
there's not just one singer.
Me trying to appeal to people who would like have that criticism, it's just never going to work.
And she says it too in the first episode. She's like, everyone says I got famous because of my sister. I did. Thanks, Charlie.
Right. Yeah.
She's like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I did. What was I supposed to do with it? Just sit there and say, I don't want this.
Yeah.
No, she makes millions of dollars. And if I had millions of people who were like supporting me, making me famous, I would want to figure out what I like to do and do something with it.
I mean, every time Kim Kardashian reposts me on her story and then I get like a few hundred new followers and I'm like, what can I do with this? Like, I want to use like this now to like do something. I think that's okay. And I think that's like very entrepreneurial, and we're all lying if we say we wouldn't do that.
And also, like, people get mad at her because she doesn't write her own music or she doesn't write her own lyrics. It's like, she decided to sing. You can be a singer. And by the way, newsflash people, you can have a good voice, but not have singing and lyrical talent.
Yeah. Right.
Just so you know.
So should she just like be quiet because she doesn't write the songs?
Yeah. And like Charlie's very, she's a really good dancer.
Yeah, I agree. Like, that's the other aspect of the show, was they showed how she's a trained dancer. She's very good at dancing. And she even was able to articulate the difference between TikTok dancing and the dancing that she would do in competitions. Like, she knows, like, people make fun of TikTok dances because they're very like waist up and like just with your hands and stuff. They're not super, there's not a lot of movement.
Yeah. Or technique.
Or technique. And she said that. She was like, I know that. Like, this is a different thing. And I think that in like 5 years, we'll be able to reflect back and be like, that is its own genre. Like, thinking that one thing is better than another just because of like the platform is very stupid. It's the same thing people said about like influencers 5 years ago. They were mm-hmm. like, how could you ever make money or like be talented running an Instagram? Mm-hmm. But it's an extremely real and lucrative industry, just like TikTok is. And being able to know how to do those dances and like engage with your followers is 100% a skill. Mm-hmm. And 100%. Like, if everybody could do it, everybody would do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. 100%. And like, I wrote this down, but I found it so crazy because I don't know if you watched the episode where Dixie did a live show.
Oh, like on like Sirius or something?
Yeah. And Heidi was, their mom was saying like, she has a lot to prove. And it really is so crazy. It made me think about how a lot of times with celebrities, they become famous because of their talents. So like the Jonas Brothers, for example, as soon as I started loving them, they no longer had to prove anything to me. They could completely like bomb their concert and I would still think it was the best thing ever and like right. want to go to more shows. With Dixie, it was the opposite. She got famous and then she had to prove to people that she could sing. So now every single time she does anything, any type of music, any type of song, any type of show, she has to like try and reconvince people why yeah. she's famous.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we don't constantly ask Kim to prove to us why she's famous.
Yeah.
We love her.
Yeah.
And we'll just consume the content she puts out.
Yeah.
Dixie, it's like each time it's a trial run.
Yeah.
And I mean, she's not going to lose her fame overnight, but I just can't imagine the pressure of just like, you know, it's like usually people are innocent until proven guilty. I was thinking about it like, she's guilty until proven innocent. Yeah. Like, she's famous, but we don't trust that she deserves it until she like proves it to us.
Totally.
And usually it's the opposite.
Yeah. The breakdown that she had was very difficult to watch. I just,
yeah,
it's very frustrating when there's people, so many people saying things about you on the internet and you can't really respond because responding would either like dignify what they're saying or it just isn't productive. But it's, you just like sometimes want to shout at people, like, first of all, when they're wrong. Like, mm-hmm. if someone's saying like a straight lie about you, you just want to be like, that's a lie. You yeah. don't know me.
Yeah.
Or if they're saying something about you that's like, that you're really sensitive about, you want to be like, hey, like, what the hell gives you the right to say that? Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. man, I feel for her. And
same.
I encourage everyone to watch, if not just like that scene, because it was really like jarring.
Agreed. I will say, like, I hope that no one listens and doesn't think that we don't think they're like two privileged white girls.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I just wanted to reiterate, like, they're extremely privileged. They came from a wealthy home. They're very lucky that they have like two parents at home raising them. And I think a lot of like child stars, sometimes the home life can be tricky.
Totally.
And therefore it leads to, I don't know, mental health struggles outside of the home, but they're yeah. really lucky that like, even though there's chaos outside of the home, their home life seems at least pretty stable. And I'm not just saying that because they have like one mom and one dad. I'm just saying they have two people at home who like love them
across the country with them.
Yeah. And like, we'll like drop anything for them yeah. and support them. And that's, they're lucky to have that and they're really privileged. And I just wanted to say that.
Yeah. I hope that we've made that clear. Like, we're not asking people to go worship them and like consume everything they do and love it, but we're just advocating for you not to bully them. Not you all, because I know that you wouldn't, but there's just a different, like, if you don't like them, that's totally fine. Just don't like tell them disgusting, nasty things mm-hmm. in their comments. Mm-hmm. I just will never, Sarah said it best when you said that, like, if you want to uplift other people because those girls are privileged, that makes total sense. Go uplift the other people.
Right.
Like, this is not helping anything.
And don't forget that mental health applies to
everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody. And God forbid, like, this person wasn't here anymore because something happened to them. Like, you would feel very bad. I mean, I almost don't like saying that because that shouldn't be the reason that, like, we're nice to people.
Right.
But that's the only way I can try to appeal to people who do these terrible things. Like,
right.
Just imagine your words affecting someone so much that made them feel like they didn't belong here. And
it's so sad.
It happens all the time. People, mm-hmm. it's just grown up bullying and it needs totally. To, it really needs to stop.
Also, like, how's the mental health of the people who plan out their lives?
Oh,
Because those people.
Nuts.
Nuts. That's a crazy job.
It really is. And also it's so like volatile, like trying to plan out TikTok kids' schedules is those very binders. Like the binders and the like. They were talking about like their brands and how the girls and their teams worry that like if they get canceled that the brands will pull out. But like, so just imagine every like imagine at your job, like everything that like every dollar that you got depended on whether like people liked you that day.
Yeah.
And Charlie and Dixie are doing fine. Like they really have brand deals up the wazoo. Even like when they were getting quote unquote canceled, I don't really think it was like mm-hmm. I don't think brands pulled out of working with them, but we see it happen all the time. And these girls don't seem particularly problematic or like they deserve that. Maybe they've erred, but they're not, whatever. My point is, imagine like your whole livelihood and like the life that you build in your career resting on like whether people decide that you look musty that day. Mm-hmm. And so like they just call you and cancel you and like it's unfathomable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's so crazy. Like, you know, no, people don't say this, but I've heard it said that, I've heard it said that like sometimes wealthy people have it harder than people without money. And okay, I know that that sounds like the person who said that was wealthy.
Yeah.
Because like obviously when you don't have money, it's one of the hardest things and you need to be able to afford healthcare and food and like clothes to put on your body. Like, of course, goes without saying. Having money helps in the most basic needs in your life. But I almost prefer where I'm at than where they're at, even though they're extremely wealthy and it's really easy to think like, ooh, fame and wealth, like sounds so nice. I don't think I could mentally handle what they're going through.
Yeah, they didn't just shoot to money. Like they're under a microscope.
Yeah.
So everything they do is being looked at. Like, yeah, if you're like, give me $100 million, like you don't have to become famous. I'd be like, that sounds super easy and fun.
Yeah.
But they, and I think they would say this too. And Billie Eilish said it in that song. Like, would you do it this way if you knew that like your whole life was going to be under scrutiny? I don't know that they, I really don't know if they would. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's, yeah, I don't know. It's not just someone handing you like money and then you get to go live your private life with money. It's like you get money, but congratulations, you also, people are going to comment on every single thing that you do for the rest of your life.
Yeah. I knew this family in New Jersey and they're one of the wealthiest families in New Jersey. Like they, I think, invested in the stock market and just everything blew up like positively for them.
Yeah.
And they were anonymous about it for years. Like no one knew how wealthy they were. Like they're billionaires. Uh-huh. Like it's insane.
Yeah.
And no one knew. And then when people found out that they had so much money, it like ruined their lives. Like people in their family and their friends started like treating them differently. And like, it ruined their lives. And they give, we know this for fact, but they give millions to charity. And then like suddenly, you know, people are asking them for money. It just changes your whole life. And it's like, if you have money in private, it's, I would say, the best thing you could have.
Totally.
If you have money publicly, it's very hard. And plus, if you're famous and or if you're wealthy because of who you are, that's even harder.
Yeah, I agree.
So I wish them luck, Dixie, Charlie, if you're listening, feel free to come on and speak on this.
Definitely. We loved the direction the show took, even though I don't think either of us were really expecting it.
Yeah, agreed.
And
I'm glad they're like normalizing these conversations for young kids.
Definitely. I agree.
They're doing our job for us. They're taking away our job.
I know. So thank you everybody for listening. We hope you get to watch the show, but even if you don't, like, I think a lot of the points we made were pretty universal.
Agreed.
And in terms of where you can follow us, please don't send us mean comments. You can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at what the heck? You can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at Liz Height, LizHeit. You can follow us on Instagram at It's Fine, I'm Fine Pod. Where can people find you, Sarah?
You can follow me at Sarah L. Sassone, that's N like Nancy, on Instagram. And that's it for now, because that's really all where I've been posting.
Okay. And thank you all for listening. We hope you're taking care of yourselves and you're enjoying the fall. And we'll see you in 2 weeks.
And with that, It's fine. I'm fine.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Bye.